good morning, good night, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. I just want to say hello. I am Abbas Idris.
And I'm Phil Circus.
And this is Okay Land. Okay, we're not going to make that work. I think we can laugh together. That's good. We do that really good.
You're about to hear a sketch.
Yes.
And that's all we're going to say.
That's it. Man, this dip is amazing.
Oh, I didn't see there. It's okay. It's okay. It's a little salty for my taste.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's artichoke. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself. My name is Malik.
What was your name?
Malik.
I'm Steven.
Steven, yeah, nice to meet you, Steven.
Can you say your name one more time?
Yeah, sure. Didn't think it would be this hard, but that's okay. My name is Malik.
Malik. I just never heard a name like that. But anyway.
It's different. I know a lot of Stevens, funny enough.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty cool name.
Okay, cool. That's the word. Yeah, this is a really cool party, actually. Like, it seems really lively. It's solid.
I'm not a big party person, but.
You're not.
Okay. No, Sherry invited me, though. I'm good friends with her.
Yeah, Sherry's good people.
I gotta ask you, how do you know Sherry?
Yeah, we work at the same company. Yeah, we work together in that one.
She never mentioned working with a Malik.
It's Malik. Having a hard time with that, I guess.
I'm sorry, I just never heard that name before.
So we work together. We work at the same company.
What do you do with that company?
I'm actually in accounting.
Huh. Sherry works in graphics.
Yeah, I don't actually know Sherry that well, but she invited me to this party, and I was like, sure, I'll come. You know, it's kind of like a last-minute thing, but she seems like a really nice person, so I was like, why not come out here and party a little bit after work, you know?
Malik, can I ask you, I was just looking at all the things that people brought, because this is a potluck.
Sure.
What did you bring?
You know what? Like I said, I came straight from work. That's why I'm still wearing my suit, you know? It's my business suit, and... yeah, I really didn't have time to bring anything, honestly. But anyway, yeah, who do you know? I mean, you said you know Sherry, but do you know anyone else here?
I don't. I know Sherry because I worked with her on a job.
You did, okay.
A couple years ago, but now she's at this new company, and she never said she worked with you, but...
Okay, well, I will say this, Steven. You may not know anyone here, but this is a great place to meet people. It's a party. I don't really know anyone here either.
I mean, I'm kind of an introvert, so like, I mean, I went for Sherry, and I brought that salad that I saw you eating quite a lot of.
Wow, Steven, are you watching me? Are you like monitoring?
You know
what?
I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be back in just a minute. I'll be back in just a minute.
Do you want me to hold your plate?
No.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I can just put it on. You know, I got it. I'll be back in just a minute, Malik.
Sure.
Hello, officer. There's a very suspicious person in this house. No, I'm not home. This is my friend Sherry's house. There's this guy here. He's very suspicious. Yeah, no one knows who he is. And he's just here. He's eating all the food. That's kind of like, that's like theft, right? He says he works for the same company as my friend Sherry, but no one can verify this. Well, he said he's in accounting, but couldn't that, like, also be, like, code for drug dealer? He didn't bring anything, and he's, like, eating everything, and no one knows who he is. And he's very threatening. Yes, he threatened me. What's a description? Oh, you know, basketball shoes, and he's wearing, like, basketball pants. I think he's wearing a track jacket. Why are you asking me what race? I'm not going to say he's black. That's racist. He's African-American. He tried to take my plate. Officer, he almost hit me. He raised his hand. No one knows who he is. He's threatening everyone at the party. Will you at least drive by? We would all feel so much better if you would just drive by. Can you just hang out for a second, officer? Someone's trying to...
Oh, hey, Sherry. What's up?
Yeah.
So, a boss. That's a sketch we're calling. Our working title for that is called...
White of the City.
The White of the Party.
White of the Party.
White City is, you know, a feature sketch.
Yes.
That we're working on. And,
White of the Party.
Know,
yeah.
Make of it what you will.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think in lieu of everything that's been going on with Barbecue Becky or Betty.
Peppermint Patty.
Peppermint Patty. All the bigots, right?
So here's the thing about OK Land.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a big age difference.
In OK Land?
Between us.
Yes, there is.
So you're not getting my references when I talk about penis. And
no. It felt old enough that I was like, he's being racist. He went historical.
I did.
No, it didn't feel racist. I want you to feel better about that. So let me redact
same
that.
As I did a minute ago.
That's good. That's that white privilege. Standing strong. You can't be deterred by my black tears. Good for you, though, on that. Yeah, there is an age difference. I am 30 plus, right? 30 plus 3.
How
plus 11
old are
months.
You that you're already lying about your age, that you're already uncomfortable about your age?
I know. What's that about?
I'm 50, almost 51.
That's Oprah status, my friend.
And I'm dating this woman who's 44.
Ooh.
And she said to me, why is it that all your friends are in their 30s?
That's because Phil's a drug dealer.
Yeah. And I didn't have a good answer.
Yeah.
Because she made it sound kind of vaguely creepy. Like, what's your old dusty ass doing with that young freshness? I didn't have an answer except to say that I'm probably 30-something at heart.
There you go.
Yeah. I got a little youthfulness going on.
Also, you interact with a lot of creative types, you know. And
by 50, most of them have given up except for my ass.
And a few other people that are doing meaningful work.
That's true.
But yes, yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think you're at the center of some really creative types. A lot of people who are very, very creative who exist in their early to late to mid 30s, you
know? That's true.
So, you know, the Zahras, the Kamal's in his 40s, but like Kelly Rafferty, mm-hmm. Are we going to name drop? Can we do that?
We can do that.
Yeah.
Let's name drop.
Jill Vice doing amazing things.
Yeah.
With her run. Echo Brown, shout out to you in the international sphere. She's in Paris doing big things, just being a powerful black woman.
So many people.
And just see really meaningful work being done and experience, you know, kind of like mentorships, I think even.
Mentorships. Your emphasis was on a funny part of that word.
So ladies and gentlemen and non-ladies and non-gentlemen.
Good people
who are listening. Thank you for listening in. I make up words sometimes. That's going to be important to note. I just want to go on record and say, first of all, speak about myself in the third person because that doesn't get weird ever. Abbas Idris.
Sorry, there's a wheezy cat in here for a second. Okay, Abbas Idris.
Abbas Idris. What was he
loves
saying?
To speak of himself in the he likes third like, person. And he even loves to make up a name like that. Like, I divide you to divide me the difference. And he'd be talking about himself in the third person.
Yeah, I've been asked.
I degrove you. But you, that's people like listening, you don't know that yet. But just keep in mind that...
There'll be points where like you're scratching your head.
Part of one of the asking, threads in OK Land is like, I got to call him out when I hear a made-up word.
Yeah, please like write in whenever you hear a made-up word.
And we'll send you a hello.
Yes, exactly. Don't start saying we'll send you things because we don't have any money.
We'll send you our thoughts and love.
Our thoughts and love.
Love and light.
We'll send you a bill. Yeah, I make up words because I don't always know all the words and I still want to say a thing, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of a conundrum where you're like really passionate about saying stuff even if you don't know exactly what to say. And that's probably the motivating factor behind doing a podcast is my lack of actual human experience but desire to speak as if I understand things. So, yeah.
I think you have the artistic freedom to make up words if you wanted to.
Thank you.
Which you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you could chalk that up to artistic liberties.
I can. You're right.
And
yeah.
And not chalk it up to, I haven't done the research. I'm going nowhere with
you're being
that.
Really kind. I appreciate how like obliviarian you are being about the topic. It's very kind of you.
You know, we have to get our thoughts out by any means necessary. And that's what this podcast is for.
That felt really militant when you said that, by any means necessary. Where did you read that?
It's on your backpack.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
My Black Panther backpack.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread it. It says JanSport.
Oh, no. Don't name drop the brand.
Why? Maybe we can get some free Patagonia.
So the weekend, how was your weekend?
My weekend?
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, you're welcome.
A boss?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good weekend. I felt a little thread of pressure. Mm-hmm. I had a hard decision to make through the weekend. That's because Jen, she's been bringing up the idea of like, you ever thought of dyeing your beard?
Dyeing my beard?
No, that's what she's asking me.
Oh.
I don't know. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. Because for the listeners, I'm 50, but I have a full head of dark brown hair, but my beard is gray as fuck.
Yes.
So she's like, you ever think about dyeing it? And I'm like, I wonder how that would look. But like, I don't want to look like, I'm trying to think like Steven Seagal. You know, some dude who's definitely old and like jet blacking their grays.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I actually, you know, she's been bringing this up and, you know, I picked up some dye at Target.
Interesting.
And I was like, I wonder how it would look if I took that 60% gray that's in my beard and made it match, you know.
72%. Yeah. 70. No. Have you ever dyed your hair before?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Any of your hair?
Never.
I just mean like when you're younger. Or older, whenever a person wants to, like, generally speaking, people will try that, right? As part of like changing the aesthetic of how you look, people dye their hair. You've never dyed your hair?
No.
I've never dyed my hair either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, like, so here's the thing. Here's the conundrum. So I decided, like, you know, the weekend came and went and I decided against it for this past weekend.
Okay.
I'm just like, the part of it that I can't get around is like, part of it is like me being a purist, but then again, you know, I've had my teeth whitened, you know?
Yeah.
That's not natural.
Sure.
Like 15 years ago, I even had like laser treatment on my face for rosacea. Like, so like, I'm definitely vain. Like,
I thought you were going to say, I'm definitely open.
I'm definitely open.
But you went with vain. Okay. Like, you don't mind, you know, sprucing yourself up a bit.
I don't mind sprucing myself up.
Yeah.
But I just, like, for some reason, it all came down to like the next people I would see, maybe I'd see a client, maybe I'd see you, my beard would be 100% dark brown and you'd be like, huh. And like that conversation, that's what I'm trying to avoid right now.
And with me, it'd be impossible to avoid.
So so I felt that pressure through the weekend, but you know, now that it's on the back burner, I feel okay again.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Hmm.
So it may be in the works.
It may be in the works.
It's just something you want to continue to think about.
Yeah. Listeners,
what are your thoughts?
Pro, cons?
Should Phil fill it in?
You know, I'll throw up a good picture of my grays on the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
On the tweets.
What's up with you? I heard nary a peep from you this weekend, and I assumed you were out there having a good old time.
I was. I was just like out robbing banks and beating up homeless people. Edit that out too, because that's not pleasant, actually, now that I think about it. Let's see. I met up with my buddy F.
Ephraim.
Nicknamed Double Digits. Don't ask me why I call him that, but I've been doing it for a good 12, 13, 14 years. Yeah, it's been 14 years. That's crazy. He's almost as old as my brother, who's 15.
He's almost as old. Your friendship is almost as old.
My friendship. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Phil.
Made up a word right then. He was like, our friendship is.
Yeah.
I
imbisticated the situation by confusing my words, which happens sometimes. No, like our friendship is definitely almost as old as my brother. 14 years is a long time. That's damn near half my life, you know?
Yeah.
Almost, you know? Or an eighth of your life, right? Since you're 100. Yeah, that's not ageism. I just really think that Phil needs to feel bad. So I want to put that out there. And then take it back ingenuinely.
I'm just letting you go on this path yourself.
Yeah, this path of destruction. Yeah, we got together. Me and Ephraim got together. We had lunch. And yeah, it was really nice to get together with him. Sunday, I went around the lake with my friend Avi. And we did what we have come to identify as playground therapy.
What is playground therapy?
Playground is funny, the way you're putting it. I like that. Playground.
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 What did you think I said?
Is that what you said?
Playground therapy.
I thought you said play around therapy, which is also what it's about. It's like playing around.
Okay. I'm going to do a fresh take.
Okay.
What is playground therapy?
Playground therapy is not an official thing, but essentially it's going to a playground and playing away your feelings or playing in your feelings, which means whatever you're feeling, you go out to the playground and you try to find a way to manifest that feeling. Exert it, let it go, let it in, let it out, whatever feels normal to you. And we talked, me and Abby, we're on the swings and we were swinging opposite one another. So like we'd be talking to each other.
But you'd only have like a moment that you were crossing at the same time.
There you go.
Okay.
But we could hear everything the other person was saying at the same time, so that we wouldn't get dizzy, we have to look forward. So we can't see each other. So I was telling Avi, I said, this would be a great place for two people to have an argument. And hopefully as a result of swinging, they can let go of the things that they don't like that they're hearing, right? But also be cognitively paying attention. And some of the heavier hitting things that someone says, you know, like maybe you miss the oomph of it. You miss the attitude and you hear the message because you're swinging. Again, I have no psychological background, but I just thought it was a cool idea. And we were swinging. And then we started talking about when we were kids and how we would jump off and how we wouldn't jump off now. And our takeaway was like, that is the evolution of a human being. It's like you learn, you know, your pitfalls, right?
Oh my gosh. This is like so many layers.
Right?
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but, no, you're with
it. I think it's funny. Like, what if it's like, I hate when you leave half and half.
I love it. Oh, this is so good.
Playground therapy, I think it's... I don't know whether it's genius or ridiculous right now. I do think that sounds like so many layers amazing. But I'm sorry if I had that one ridiculous idea. But I think there is a lot like to having been in a couple volatile relationships.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to taking a discussion to a public space for everyone's safety. Maybe it's like this healthy way to distill the essence of what the problem is. And maybe you see that the problem isn't so big after all. Anyway, right. I think it's, you know, funny idea, but I think it's a really great idea.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know about its sustainability therapeutically, but just this idea of like having a disagreement with someone and being able to have a conversation, especially if it's like low stakes disagreement, hopefully, then just like going to a public place, being open to, right? Because that's the whole thing about arguments is like we come with our stances. We come with our histories.
Yeah.
We come with our beliefs. We come with our experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, I need you to hear me. And the other person's like, I need you to hear me, right? I know I'm generalizing arguments now, but essentially it's this desire to be understood, right? By the other person. Mm-hmm. So changing up the physical environment that you're in when you have an argument, be it, you know, it's kind of like when they talk about if someone is yelling at you and you start to speak at a lower tone, that it will, it can encourage them to now slow down because they're going to be very aware of their tone when you're speaking at a lower tone.
I like it a lot.
So this playground therapy is like, let's go do this thing outdoors that requires us to physically move, right? Because you have to maintain the swinging, you have to move your body. And I wonder how tension in your physical body affects swinging. So if the objective is to keep swinging, right, then, you know, so I just, it seemed like a fun idea. I like how you've made fun of it too. That's really fun as well. And I'm not being sarcastic. It's like a silly but fun idea.
I didn't go to a playground this weekend, but I did go to a dog park.
Okay, tell me about it.
I took, listeners, I have a beagle dachshund mix named Marty. He's a little guy. Not so little. He's a 25-pounder. And I took him in OK Land. I took him to, I always forget the name of this park. Joaquin Miller Park? Is there a park with that name?
Probably.
Anyway, it's up in the hills in Oakland because I live in the flats and I don't know what's all going on up. But they have in a lovely area with tons of redwoods, these two enclosed dog parks. And I took Marty there, and lately Marty's been like pretty non-social with other dogs. He prefers to spend his time chasing the shadow of a dragonfly. I just saw like there was this family coming in with this, you know, it was a cute pit bull. And then there was only one other woman, and I was outside the park observing this with her dog in the park. And she's like, you can't really bring a pit bull in here. And then the family's like, well, he's really friendly. And then the woman was like, I just really need to process this.
Is it to process this?
Yeah. So anyway, I know there's a thing about pit bulls and pit bulls get a bad rap, but I think I was just stuck on the idea that there was this a stranger woman telling this family that like that she needs to process. Maybe another person might say, well, you know, my dog's uncomfortable with that breed of dog, and so let me get my dog out of there, or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, doing something rather than telling a bunch of strangers that you need to process, like, right there on the spot.
Which is, like, implicitly saying, hold on, don't come in here until I'm done processing.
Right. That just stuck with me.
She had her own dog?
She had her own dog.
And she's already like, inside the park.
She's already inside the park doing things with her own dog, playing catch. And she told the family, there were, like, kids and adults and this pit bull, that she needed, like, hold on, don't come in because I need to process.
Interesting.
Is that okay in okay land?
You know, I can see the need to process. There is a lot of stigma around pit bulls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can understand even feeling some levels of concern,
mm-hmm.
either because she's maybe less aware or has only had, maybe she's had a bad experience with a pit bull before.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, but, you know, at the same time, like folks, they're bringing a dog in, they're a family, mm-hmm. right? Like you can presume that their dog is probably going to be a safe dog, you know? There's no guarantees.
There's no guarantees.
I mean, I remember being out there before, just, you know, to kind of really cement that point. I remember being at the dog park with you in Berkeley.
Yeah.
And Marty got a little, you know, he was like running after these other dogs. Yeah. And then this other dog, I don't remember exactly, but this other dog might have been annoyed or playing with Marty, but he was a bigger dog.
Yeah.
So then there was like a barking happening and you ran in and you got Marty. So yeah, I mean, the dogs can be rambunctious and sometimes they can kind of like be nippy and snappy and bite at each other. That does happen, I guess.
There is a lawlessness to dog parks.
There is a lawlessness?
You know, there's like an unwritten law that gets bulldozed over.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, you would think there are some best practices. Don't bring puppies into a dog park that has a lot of mature dogs, or yeah. like you don't bring a dog, you know, you don't come into a dog park with a dog on its leash. And I think anything that can happen usually happens, meaning you'll find like big dogs in the small dog park and vice versa. You'll find owners who just leave the gates open because they don't know. And there's just a lot of untrained dog owners that are there. I'm just a few years into dog ownership and noticing all this shit that goes down. Dog parks are a weird place.
Yeah.
It's like a safe public space to go and like yell. That's one thing. Everyone's yelling at the dogs all the freaking time. They're weird places, you know. Well, I don't know what laws apply. Anyway, I don't know if there's a story there, but it's something I noticed over the weekend.
It's something to note, you know, for future. If yesterday, which was Monday, counts as like peripheral weekend,
yeah,
like weekend spillover, if that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I went and saw, and this might have come up earlier, but I went and saw a comedy show, Monday night comedy show at Starline Social Club.
Yeah.
That is hosted by Irene Tu.
Irene Tu, shouting out.
Yeah. Shout out to Irene Tu and also Andrew, last name I cannot remember right now. They're just so real, you know, and they feel very real.
Yeah.
And they're also very intelligent comics. I really enjoy watching them.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been trying to go as much as I can to these Monday night comedy shows, particularly the one at the Starline Social Club. It's inspiring. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging. I always find myself, you know, writing stuff down, mm-hmm. writing some of my own jokes when I leave that place. So it's an inspiring environment. I don't always love the comics that are there. And that's what's really beautiful is like you learn a lot about comedy by watching comics.
Yeah.
You know? But I have to respect everyone who shows up because I just feel like they're doing.
Do you know how I met Irene?
How?
Do you know the story?
I don't.
I was working with W. Kamau Bell when he was doing a bunch of stand-up shows in Berkeley. and I was like producing that show, and he's letting me MC. And but basically, it was when Kamau does a local show, it's an opportunity for him to like connect with a lot of his old friends, and so like a lot of established Bay Area comics were opening for him in those shows, like Nato Green and Bucky Sinister and Kasim Bentley. And we did a few weeks, and it's like, you know what, I want to give some opportunities to some like younger comics. And I ran into this comic, Irene too, and so she's going to be on. I'm like, great. And I remember finding out that he hadn't seen her actually perform, but he just like had a vibe. He said something like, oh, I just talking to her, I just knew she's funny.
That's really powerful.
And like, Kamau is such an intuitive guy.
Yes, he is.
And like, and then I met Irene, and it's like, yeah, like she is genuine. She's wonderful to watch.
I mean, salt of the earth. Yeah. Real talk. Seriously.
So, that's how.
Yeah. And a couple years ago, it's funny, I just got the reminder. Mm-hmm. Like Facebook likes to tell you about it's your anniversaries.
Yeah.
Which is like a romantic way of just Facebook letting you know that it has all these records on you. Yeah. You know, it's like 3 years ago to the day, you know, and
we're watching you. Love you.
Love you. It's like mom, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the kind of mom that can make you disappear, like a mean governmental mom. They say big brother, but I kind of feel like it's really your mother,
right?
The government, like super judgy, pushy, and pretends to care about you, even though when you scrape your knee, you can't get free healthcare. So 3 years ago to the date, we're gonna have to edit out. There's a lot of tangential stuff with me.
Yeah, no, we're gonna edit out tangential. But what happened 3 years ago to the day?
To the day
that you saw this on Facebook when you woke up and you picked up your phone and looked at it while you're still asleep.
You hosted Octopus Literary Cafe at the Octopus Literary Cafe
Salon.
Yeah, Solange and Beyonce both did not make it. You're right.
No, invited them though.
We invited them. They didn't make it though.
Oh, so it was 3 years ago for which one?
When it was like me, Irene,
Kelly?
Was it Kelly? No, I think it was before. It was like the first one, I think. It might have been the first one.
So listeners, Abbas and I, we did some comedy performances at a local cafe.
Yeah.
And at the Octopus Literary Salon. And those were fun, creative times.
Yes, it was. And Irene came out, I remember. Mm-hmm. And she did some stand-up, and it was really good. And she's just so lively, you know what I mean?
And took off on her skateboard right after.
Yes, she did.
I got to ask you a question.
Yes.
What's coming up for you this week that we're going to talk about on the next episode of OK Lam? What do you got coming up?
This upcoming week, there will be some, I'm a parent, and we can talk more about that later. So I have to.
You're a parent. I think you owe a little slightly bit more explanation than just dropping that. And
Right. Okay, that's fair. So I have, as I told you earlier, I have a knucklehead 15-year-old brother, and I am his legal guardian. I'm parenting him. It takes a village, and I'm fortunate enough to be part of a village that is very helpful with that, with taking care of my brother. My family is helpful. But yeah, so he lives with me, and we have to do some school shopping and some registration. Mm. And he's been in LA hanging out with family, with my sister, and just like it's time for him to come back and start school and grow up. He always comes back whenever he goes to LA for the summers, and he's been doing that the last couple summers. He's always like a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what that's about.
Yeah.
Probably poking fun at him respectfully next week on the Mikey Mic. And Phil, what do you got going on? What fun things do you have this week?
I have a new client I'm very excited about. I find myself at my age, not having a 9-to-5 job, but I am a podcast producer.
Yes.
And everyone listening is going, can you really make money doing that? And I'm like, yeah, kind of, sort of. Grateful for my friend Kamau, who pulled me in, and I worked on a couple of his shows over the past few years until he became like an Emmy award-winning fabulous CNN star. But right now I produce a podcast for Anita Sarkeesian and Feminist Frequency. And my new client is this podcast that is already established called Dear Prudence, hosted by Daniel Mallory Ortberg. So anyway, I got the, like, you know, I'm excited. Also, like, there's so much to learn. I want to know all these things. I want to get into it. But I'm very excited. And I hope to have stories about, you know, how that's going on the next art podcast.
Yeah.
that's our maiden voyage. I think that's all okay for this week.
Yeah, I think it's a well-christened first episode, potentially. This has been really great. Please tune in next week. You'll be hearing more from us. And if you like what you hear, you know, send us some comments, send us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm at Phil Circus, PhilSurkis on Twitter. How about you, Abbas? Are you on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter right now. I was for a while. I need to get on Twitter.
You motherfucker perpetrating.
No, I'm going to get on Twitter. That's probably one of the tasks for this
week. By the next episode, Abbas Idris will be on Twitter. Now, he's perpetrating.
Because
how are you going to be a comedian and not be on Twitter?
That's real. I'm concerned that I won't get enough followers. Is that sad?
Okay, but if you want to go on Snapchat.
Yeah.
You can
find me on Snapchat talking about croissants.
Croissant.
No, I'm on Instagram and I have pictures of flowers. You'll find me. Basically, like, if you are on East 18th and Park Boulevard,
right,
I'm around.
And do we have a sign off?
Any guys? Yeah. White power.
Okay. We've talked enough. I think we're gonna seal this episode up.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
Subscribe wherever you can subscribe. And iTunes, please write a review.
Please.
That helps.
It does.
Man, that helps.
It does. It makes us feel good.
So good.